Thank you, Pastor. And no, we'd still rather be here even in this heat. Yeah, I think the only thing we miss is Maine is our family and our grandkids. Don't get to see them as much as often, but we certainly love it down here. We love our church family. We're thankful that God led us here. Been able to serve in many areas, not just here, but in the area of other churches and trying to help other churches. I think I can safely say that everyone here tonight would agree that our nation is heading down in the wrong direction, going down that wrong path. In fact, I've heard a couple times lately that we're almost close to being the modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah, and I've heard others say, no, we are. You know, where that point of no return is, I don't know. Only the Lord knows that. And whether this nation will turn back to Him, I don't know. We pray for that end, but it's only the Lord knows whether we will or not. But as we look out in society and the way things are going, we see a lot of things happening. It's just gone chaos out there. We see things of other churches. At one time, churches that we knew that preached the gospel. And it's sadly, they've changed the gospel. They've kind of reinvented it to suit themselves. And not just in the area here, but all throughout this land, this great land that our founding fathers found with God's help. We see how the gospel has been changed. And it's come to that point where I know a lot of people are confused of following. Who do you follow? And everybody's out there saying you need to follow me. And in some cases, a lot of people, sadly, are following blindly. And again, because of it, it's leading them down that wrong path. So who do we follow? I know as believers, we know what we would say. But as a people, as a nation, as believers, who do we follow? How do we show it? Most common would say that we follow God. Most, the average person you talk to say we follow God. But as a nation, as a people, I believe we need to ask ourselves three questions. The first one is, who do you say you follow? I think as you listen to people today, talk to them, whether it's one-on-one, read a paper, hear interviews, people share who they're following. Some say they follow God. Some say they follow this one, follow that one. It seems like the crowd is following just everywhere. And I think in one respect, that's what's got our country into the problems we have. Because we have lost that point as a nation. Who do we truly follow? Who got us here? Why are we here? I know the founding fathers, if you read some of their letters, the reason why this nation was formed was to promote God. It was formed with the Word of God. The schools, when they first started, they used the Bible as their main book. That's where the kids studied from. That's where they learned their three R's, literally, was from the Bible. But it's just one thing after another. I just read today online that one of the schools out in the Midwest, the principal said the kids could not, for graduation, were not allowed to wear their National Honor Society banners because it would hurt kids that were not able to wear them. Like those that couldn't wear them, it would hurt them. They would feel bad. They would feel left out. As a nation, this is what we've come down to. People forgetting where we came from. And we see in the scriptures, the Old Testament, we see great leaders, great prophets talking about where the nation of Israel, how it started and what it went through. I think of Joshua. Joshua had gathered all his people because he knew his time was short. And he gathered his people and brought them together, and he wanted to tell them where they came from. how they got to where they are, that it was not just them, but it was because of God. God was guiding them, leading them, instructing them. He reminded them of their past. He reminded them who they were. As a nation, I think we have forgotten who we once were. I think we have forgotten where we came from and why we're here. But Joshua did not forget. As he gathered his people and he instructed them and told them and reminded them. And in Joshua 24, verse 15, he said, "But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As I said, he had just gathered the people. He let them know about their past, reminding them. And he even went so far as to tell them they could do what they wanted. But he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that was an encouragement to them. Knowing where they came from, knowing the battles they've been in, knowing where God brought them out of Egypt. Even in that short a period, a lot of them had forgotten. So is it any surprise that we have forgotten? They had forgotten that God brought them out of Egypt. God brought them through the Red Sea. God brought them out of famine. Fed them for 40 years in the wilderness. Clothed them for 40 years in the wilderness. Took care of his children. Joshua wanted to remind them. Remind them where they came from. Remind them where they were going. Remind them who was there guiding them, leading them. And also reminding them that God made a promise neither to leave them nor forsake them, to always be with them. And we can claim that same promise today. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Again, sharing with the people. Sharing that where he had come from. We know where Paul came from. We know the issues Paul had. How he thought he was a staunch believer of God. And he was out there doing his work. But on his way to Damascus to destroy the Christians, God got hold of his heart. And Paul, as we know, became one of the first missionaries, a great preacher, helped start churches. But he's reminding people. He said, "Be followers of me." Even, you know, with the world, he could have stopped right there and the world would have been happy. "Be followers of me." Because that's exactly what the world wants. The world wants us to follow them. The world doesn't want us to go beyond that. You cannot pick up a paper or turn on the news today without seeing that. Where Christianity is being torn apart, being ignored. Again, I read the paper where some senator said it's easier for Muslims to get into this nation than it is Christians that are dying overseas. They can't get visas to come. How sad. How sad. Be followers. You know, it's easy on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. It's easy when we all come into the church. You know, as coming into the church, it's easy to look the part, to be that part, without even realizing it. We come in, sit down in the pews, we sing the songs, we tithe. What we come into church on our church days, we look that part. But what about when we go out in the streets? Do we take how we act on Sundays, do we take it out the church doors when we're amongst the people out there, maybe with coworkers? How about those long lines in the supermarket? or somebody cuts you off in traffic, what do they see? Do they see some of our friends, some of our families? Do they see what they see in church? Do they see it outside? See, that is saying who we follow. It causes doubts in people's minds. They're thinking, I know, I was there at one point. Before I got saved in 81, I was there. I saw people that called themselves Christians, and I know how they acted on Sundays, and I saw how they acted during the week, and I said, what's the difference? Why should I want to be like that? But what do they see on the outside? About 30-something years ago, it's when I was going to Liberty, there was a poll taken, and Dr. Falwell had mentioned this, and I never got out of my mind. In fact, I wrote it down, and I have it. And the poll was about 1 or 2 years old at the time he gave us a poll. And he said at that particular time, it was one of the largest polls, Christian poll, that far as pertaining to are we, you know, what you believe as a person. It was one of the largest polls ever taken. And the poll said this, 90% of the people believe in God. They believe in a God. 90%. Well, you say, that's pretty good. Well, out of that 90%, 70% call themselves Christians. That's still pretty good, isn't it? But now you've got to remember that word Christian. Today means a lot. That groups in even some of the people that you and I consider cults. They call themselves Christians. 70%. 30% say they are believers. Wow. 70-30. 70% say they're Christians. 30% say they call themselves believers. That part I never got, because if you're a Christian, you should be. At least when this poll comes out, I was a new believer. So I was thinking, you know, wait a minute, 70% say they're Christians. Now only 30% say they're believers? What happened in between there? But here's the scary part. Out of that, only 3 to 4% are truly born again. Now this poll was taken over 30 years ago, about 32 years ago now. Wonder what the numbers are now. And I remember Pastor Falwell saying at the time, even if the poll was off by 5%, say it's 10%, that's scary. And he made another statement after that. And you got to remember, we were at Thomas Road, and there was a packed Sunday. And after he gave that poll, he looked out at his congregation and said, according to that poll, if the rapture should come right now, 40% of you would be sitting right here. You could hear a pin drop in that church. And literally, people just started looking at each other. That's scary. Why the difference? Why is this happening? What is causing all this? Hopefully tonight, we can clear up a little bit of that. But who do you say you follow? Joshua said who he follows. Paul said who he followed. We could go through the Old Testament and the New Testament and name other folks that said who they followed, and they were faithful. But these are questions that I believe tonight, it's kind of a self-examination question of each and every one of us. Because we have to look deep. And Pastor Kevin talked about some of it this morning. Who do you say you follow? Who do you say you follow? Second one, who do others say you follow? Now I'm talking about the people that see us on a daily basis, maybe even know us quite well. Maybe there's some of the folks that come to church with us. They see us in church, but then they see us on the outside. Maybe some of our family members. They know what we proclaim. They know what we say, but they see how we act. So who do they say, when they look at us, who do they say we follow? The word follow, defined in Webster's, is to go after, to seek, go in pursuit, to walk in. That is the word, what follow means. In other words, we should go after the Lord. We seek Him. We go in pursuit. In other words, we walk like Him. Try to walk that path. Hopefully, the idea is that we become like Christ. We were talking about, I believe, in Sunday school this morning, when we're talking about reaching that goal. You know, here on this planet, we're never going to reach that goal. But I like what Paul said. He did what? He strives towards it. We're striving towards that goal. And we're going to stumble along the way. And it's because we're not perfect. But still, when people look at us, they should see something different. They should see something different. The Lord said it in Matthew 5:14. Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Light of the world. What does He mean by that? What He means is when we should be, our light should shine bright. Have you ever stopped and thought that period in time, during that first century, what those believers went through? They were in a world that full of paganism. They were in a world where Caesar was God. If you looked at him wrong, he could have you put away permanently. This is what they were up against. They lived in that world. But Jesus told them, "You are the light. You're the light of the world. You're like that city set on a hill that cannot be hid." As people look at us, they should see Christ. And again, He said in Luke 11, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither hide it under a bushel." And folks, since I got saved in 81, and the ministries I worked in, sadly, and you can say the same thing, I have seen Christians that kept their light underneath a bushel. The world has us scared. They have us in the place they want us to be scared. We see issues around the country with the school situation about saying the word Jesus or speaking about Him or getting up in a valedictorian and praying or mentioning Him. And the ACLU has the schools running in panic. It is nothing against the law. It's not against the law to speak about Jesus in any school in this nation. But they have convinced these principals that it's going to cost them a lot of money if they do. They've got them in a panic mode. They have the people right where they want them. But the Lord says otherwise. Not to keep our light under a bushel. Let it shine. You all know the song the little kids sing, "Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." And I won't sing it because you won't want me to sing it. But we know the words. We know the song. We need to let our light shine. Things that were once black and white in our nation now are a gray area. Pick up the paper almost on a daily basis and you see where churches are changing their stance on marriage. Changing their stances on things that the Word of God says are sin, plain and simple. You know, they can say that's wrong all they want, but it doesn't change the fact that the Word of God is true. They're not going to change the Word of God by saying it's not a fact. Because what God says is a fact. And He calls it simply, sin is sin. And we have, as a people, we've gotten away from that. We have gotten away from that. What other people say about us? Who they say we follow? I think back in the Old Testament, in Genesis 39, Potiphar. We all know about Potiphar. He recognized that the Lord was with Joseph. He was a man that he literally bought. And he saw that he had a good mind for figures and stuff. So he put him in charge of his acreage, his estate. And he saw it constantly, saw it growing. And he recognized the fact that who Joseph prayed to, I guess you could say in today's vernacular, he not only walked the walk, he talked the talk. And Potiphar recognized that fact. Potiphar knew who Joseph followed. He knew who Joseph followed. Acts 11 talks about first being called Christians, Christ-like in Antioch. I don't know if you realize it, but when they were first called Christians, it wasn't a factor to say that people looked at Paul and said, wow, there goes a Christian. No, it was, wow, there goes a Christian. It wasn't meant as a term to say good things about these believers. It was a put-down. It was a put-down. But why were they called Christians? Because they stood out. They stood out in a pagan world. They stood out in a world, in the cities they lived, there was multiple temples around them, and they were not Christian temples. They were temples to worship other gods, stone idols. Some were golden idols. Some were replicas of the emperor. This is the world they lived in. But they stood out. And by standing out, it could mean death, loss of their property, tearing their family apart. But they were not afraid. They were not afraid. They remained faithful. They were not ashamed to be called Christians. So when people looked at them and said, who do they follow? They knew. They knew. Who do you say you follow? Who do others say you follow? But probably a much more important question would be, who will Christ say you follow? That's the important question. See, it's more than just acting out a part. And I know, and I understand it. Not everybody is really seem like they're acting out. It's they grew up in a Christian family. So it's become normal to them. They've been faithful to the church. So it's become normal to them. But that's not what Christ talks about. Alistair Begg, he's a pastor and an author. He writes this. I like this. What matters is not what I have to say about myself, but what God has to say about me. Let me read that again. What matters is not what I have to say about myself, but what God has to say about me. And folks, it doesn't matter what other people say about us, good or bad, but it certainly matters what God says about us. He's the one that should count. Because he is the one that one day we're going to stand before him in eternity and answer to. Now, I like it as we all heard about the white throne judgment, the bema seat. I am glad as I stand here today and tell you, I don't have to worry about the white throne judgment. But I will stand before the Lord in front of the bema seat. And simply means that I will answer. He will show me, John, this area, you messed up. But enter in. You see, my name is written in the book of life. 1 Samuel. How does the Lord see you and me? In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, the Lord seeth what? Not as a man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Aren't we glad that God looks upon our heart? Especially as believers. You know, because we're not perfect. Because we came to know Christ, we're not perfect. We still mess up. We still fall. But he's still there to pick us up. And I think the greatest example of that is, and I've heard Pastor preach on it, we've heard him preach on it, is David. I think David's one of the greatest examples in the Bible for that. God called him what? The apple of his heart. Apple of his eye. Why? Because he knew David's heart. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. In today's society, even as bad as we are ways, he'd be out. Now, in God, with God, he didn't get away with it. He had to answer for those. But when David repented, God knew it was a true repentance of the heart. So glad that God sees the heart. Because sometimes we judge a book by its cover too quickly. And I'm certainly glad God does not do that. But how many times have you and I see somebody doing something and we jump on it and judge them? And maybe find out later, whoa, did we make a mistake? Because you and I don't have that ability to look deep into a person's heart. Only God does. John 14:6, well known. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me, but through me. He is the only way. And I believe that our nation has forgotten that. They have forgotten why we're here, how we got here, where we came from. How God has kept his hand on this nation over these many years. And literally, we became one of the greatest nations that this earth ever produced. He gave us abundantly, above and beyond. Why do you think people are fighting to get into this nation? I haven't seen too many people fighting to get out. I haven't met any, really, that are trying to get out of this nation. As with all the troubles we have, we are still one of the greatest nations ever. Now, how long that'll last, again, only God knows. But again, how much more important question? Who will Christ say we follow? In Matthew 10:33, he says, whosoever shall deny me before man, him will I also deny before the Father. That's a scary thought, if you stop and think about that. And that's exactly what the lost are going to go through. They will be denied. In Matthew 12, he says, he that is not with me is against me. And this, he was speaking to religious leaders, the very people that were supposed to be out there promoting God, encouraging folks to come to worship in the temple, trying to lift them up. These are the very people that God said they were against him. They were against him. They were not doing what they were supposed to do. They were harming the people more than helping. They were turning many people away. Why? Because they had an eye problem. It was all about them. They took their eyes off of Christ. They took their eye off of God. And they put it on themselves. They put it on themselves. They walked around literally in the squares, and the Bible talks about it, basically strutting. Seeing who could put the biggest bells in the bottom of their robes so they could be heard coming. Walking in the streets, supposedly praying with their hands up so everybody could notice. It was all about them. All about them. I think our nation's come to that point. It's all about us. It's not so much about God anymore. It's all about us. It's all about, what can I get? What can I get? I've talked to many people over these years. And I'm a strong believer in helping the needy. But the sad fact is a lot of them aren't that needy. Just lazy. We need to help the ones that need help. It's not only the right thing to do, it's the godly thing to do. But when you got people out there trying to vote people in office because they made all kinds of promises and they're going to get this freebie and that freebie, folks, I don't have to tell you, but there's really nothing in this world free. Somebody's got to pay for it. But again, it's all about themselves. All about themselves. I like in Matthew 4:19, Jesus made a promise. He said, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. In 2001, I got a chance to go back to Vietnam on a 14-day mission trip. Just two of us going over. And our church supported a lot of the natural pastors over there. And we literally had to take their paychecks over to them. And I remember my office door, I just took a piece of scribbling paper and I wrote it, gone fishing. That note created, when I came back, that little sign created more questions that I could remember. Because I said, going fishing. And a lot of them asked me how to go and all this, like when we come back, when our mission teams come back. And, you know, how many people did you get to witness to? How many did this and that, how many of that? That note, and it made me go think back on Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And if that's what, and God has called every believer. You notice, he didn't single out just anybody. He singled out believers. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But guess what we got to do to do the fishing? We got to go throw the hook in. We got to throw the line in to do that fishing to try to reel them in. We do very little of that anymore. Just like the nation is gone, I guess it's become a point where we're afraid of hurting somebody's feelings, afraid to get them they would get upset. Guess what? The gospel will hurt people's feelings. It will get them upset, but it just might touch their heart. And that's what this is all about. Remember, Pastor Kevin this morning said, one of his points was, I should examine my relationship with God. And that's what we need to do. And hopefully that's what tonight, these three points. We need to examine ourselves. Nothing wrong with self-examination, folks. Nothing wrong. I remember not long after I got saved, my wife and the kids were gone. Of course, living in Maine, a big old farmhouse at the time. And they had gone down to Mass, I can't remember now why, but to visit the parents or our grandparents. And I was fairly newly saved. And I don't know what I was dreaming, but I woke up screaming. I never forget it. I kept screaming, I missed the rapture. I missed the rapture. I missed the rapture. And the first thing I did when I finally calmed down, I did a self-examination. Because I didn't want to miss it. I wanted to be sure. I wanted to be sure that what I went through, what I did, that I did it right. What has got us to this state? Some of the things I believe is we've forgotten what it means to be a true Christian as a nation, as a whole. You see, it's come to that point where I believe, you know, being in church on a regular basis, that's awesome. But that's not what it's about. Giving, tithing, that's great. In fact, it keeps Pastor Kevin and Pastor Jack here, keeps this building here. But that's not what it's about. Going to Sunday school on a regular basis, it's great, but that's not what it's about. It's not about denominations. Don't want to scare you, but the Baptist denomination is not the only right denomination. It's the one we choose, and we believe it's the closest thing as possible to the word that sticks with the Word of God. But there are other denominations out there that are just as faithful. So it's not about denominations. And it's not about being in church on a regular basis. It's not about tithing. It's not about work. See, the only works, folks, was done 2,000 years ago on a cross. That's the only work. That's when Jesus died on that cross. He did the work. He did it so you and I don't have to do it. But I think today, in today's society, with all this going around and everything is okay and I don't want to hurt your feelings, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings, it's come to that point that people have forgotten what true Christianity is about. It is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. It's about that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I will admit, one of the things I like about our church, and I've been to churches, this doesn't happen. We have two pastors that no matter what time they preach, whether it's morning, evening, the gospel is given at the end of their message, if not throughout the whole message, clear and simple. People can understand it. And people know by the end of the message that it's about Jesus Christ. It's about that one-on-one, that personal relationship with Him. Before that, all the church time, all the works, all the tithe, it really means nothing to the Lord. It might make you feel good. And I think people struggle. And I've talked to folks that have been raised in Christian homes all their life, and they came to that point where they realized just because they were raised in a Christian home, they realized later they were not saved. I have heard stories, or I should say not stories, I've heard testimonies of deacons, after many years serving and being faithful, on a Sunday morning, falling on their knees, weeping, and realize they were not truly saved. You know, and that's, Satan loves to fool us. He likes to put us in that mode where we feel good. And if he can keep us feeling good, then he can keep us off that path of recognizing that fact that we need a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. So as a nation of believers, I believe we have forgotten what it means. Forgotten what it means. You know, and back up a little bit when I talked about being called a Christian, being Christ-like, I leave this one question. How are we doing? How are we doing? Do we stand out? Do others see Christ in us? Do they see something in us and they want to have it? They might not be able to understand and explain it, but what they see, they want. So, I need that. I want that. Again, not long after I got saved, I owned a store, clothing store in Maine. And I had a woman, Helen, she worked 2 days for me. And she had a couple of friends that used to come in. Well, it was a clothing store. And they used to come in once or twice a week, usually with her. But this one time, they come in. I forget, it was on a Monday morning. They come in. And that Sunday, I'd gotten saved. And they come in Monday. They talked to me. And they left, bought a few things and left. Helen, 2 days, she worked Wednesdays and Thursdays. Helen came in Wednesday. And Wednesday was usually the day I went and bought stock for the store. And she said, John, I need to ask you a question. Yeah? So-and-so, and I forget the ladies' names, but I know Helen. But she said, so-and-so came in the store, and as soon as they left here, they came right over to my house. Now, I never mentioned to these two ladies, and Helen said, I'm asking you this point blank. Did you get saved over this weekend? She said, those two ladies saw a countenance on your face that they hadn't seen on your face before. And I say that to say this, because that is what the world should see of all of us. And sadly, when we first get saved, they see it, but we have a tendency over time to lose that. We all have. I remember I was on cloud nine, as the pastor, former pastor at that time, said. I was on cloud nine for about 9 months. And he said, I don't want to be around you when you come down. And sadly, I came down. We all do. But there still should be something there that people see and people want. When the Lord opens up the book of life, and I leave you with this, will He find your name on it? Will He find your name on it? I pray that tonight, it's probably an unusual message for a Sunday night crowd, but the Lord laid this message on me a couple years ago. And both other times I started to preach it, He shut me down. And for whatever reason, He allowed me tonight. It's a self-examination of all we all need to go through. I think Pastor Kevin this morning, with the message that he used about the Lord's Supper, was a good start. And some of the things he said, and I said, I wanted to look over my shoulder when I was putting this together. Not the exact word, but close enough to realize. So tonight, hopefully, you've thought about it and examined your heart. You know, I don't know where you stand. Pastor really doesn't know where you stand. Only you and God know truly where you stand. As I said, when Dr. Falwell gave that count and said 40%, you could have heard a pin drop. And when we was going to Thomas Road, believe me, Dr. Falwell preached the gospel. And souls were usually saved every Sunday because of a large congregation. But you could hear a pin drop. So at ending of tonight, hopefully you've just examine your own heart and pray that you've come to that right decision. Say, John, no, I know my name is in the book of life. When God looks at me, He says, you are a follower of me. Not perfect, but you're a follower of me. But I think also as believers, as true believers, we need the world to see people that are willing to follow, that are willing to stand for Christ. I don't think the church is doing enough of that. And I'm not talking about our, I'm talking about the church as whole. The church does not do that enough. Because we are the church people, it's not the building. We need to be more Christ-like. So when the world looks at us and they say, there goes one of them Christians, because we stand out.